You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the National Party's Greg Fleming and Labor's Camilla Balich put forward a members' bill to address modern slavery. The bill would require businesses with over $100 million of annual consolidated revenue to generate a report on whether any of their suppliers use modern slavery. Despite being a members' bill, the bill will be heard in Parliament next week, thanks to gathering support from 60 non-Cabinet MPs from National and Labor, the first time this process has been used. The ACT Party did not support the bill, with Leader David Seymour and Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden levying multiple criticisms. Also this past week saw an announcement that the prison population in Aotearoa reached an all-time high, despite reports of overcrowding and underfunding last year. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, I spoke about both of these issues, starting with the Modern Slavery Bill. Just wanted to talk today about the Modern Slavery Bill that was discussed recently. ACT did not support this bill that's been proposed, a bill that's now seen support from the National and Labor parties. Why is ACT opposed to the bill?
Well, because it's about filing reports rather than stopping offenders. The bill doesn't actually criminalise slavery. That's already illegal. And ACT simply doesn't support feel-good legislation that piles compliance costs onto businesses without actually stopping crime. Because what this legislation would do, if it's passed, is require businesses earning $100 million a year or more to file and publish annual reports about steps they're taking to avoid modern slavery. And there's a couple of problems with that. Firstly, it's targeting companies with a new compliance and reporting regime, and we've seen what all of the climate reporting fiasco led to. Lots of paperwork, high cost, and eventually the government saw it wasn't delivering and just scrapped it. And the other part of it is, says, well, actually, slavery only matters if your turnover is more than $100 million a year. But if you operate offshore, or you know, if your business is domiciled offshore, it earns less than $100 million a year, don't worry about it. Neither of those messages are sensible, rational, and ACT is not supporting this legislation.
There's also been discussion. I mean, you say the criteria is too small there. Would you be open to this legislation if the criteria was open to all businesses, let's say, that operate in Aotearoa?
Well, look, expecting companies to trace the labour conditions behind every component in a global supply chain, it does sound good. If you care about the working conditions of people in other countries, but it doesn't actually work in practice, and those costs end up on consumers. ACT will not be supporting this legislation because it doesn't work to stop the problem that's been identified in some countries. You might think about unsafe mining practices in Central Africa, or the kind of practices have been potentially associated with manufacturing electronics in developing countries. But there are other ways and means to deal with this. Police already have the powers to investigate and prosecute slavery and human trafficking in New Zealand, and they use them. Most recently, they've successfully prosecuted Joseph Matamata, and it does show that where there is exploitation and it's onshore, that police can deal with that.
I wanted to get into two main parts of that argument. The first, that businesses shouldn't be expected to do all this investigation, and the second, that the reporting won't actually solve the problem. With the first, idea that businesses shouldn't be expected to go all the way up the supply chain and figure out every issue in there, especially when we're seeing businesses only valued at $100 million or more, isn't this something that they should be able to do?
Well, if you think about every single widget that goes into a device, whether it's a car or a cell phone, the global supply chain is incredibly complex, relies on lots of different relationships and exchanges. We saw that during COVID when the global supply chain was disrupted, and it was very quickly revealed that when there are blockages in the supply chain, it's very difficult to find out where they are and fix them. I think the same could be applied here. But in the end, expecting companies to trace labour conditions behind every component back to where that component is manufactured is impractical in today's modern world. All that's going to end up happening, it's going to be more red tape, more paperwork, the costs are going to end up on consumers, and what on earth is going to happen with this information? Because there's no sense that as a result people are going to be prosecuted or there's going to be any consequences for having identified these matters.
I think to suggest that there's going to be no consequences is probably getting ahead of yourselves. I mean, the government, this government especially, has talked about measuring issues before acting and making a big deal of, you know, generating statistics and looking into data. Is this not the same thing, you know, going into this issue and generating some data before putting together a response to businesses that might employ the use of products that have been gathered through modern slavery?
Well, look, I think it is important to gather evidence, but the problem we have here is that by asking companies to go and do all of this due diligence and all of this work without any real understanding about how this information is going to be used, you know, what are the benefits to consumers, and you know, how on earth are you going to influence practices in other countries? Because as we found out with climate change policy, just because New Zealand does things to itself, you know, imposes red tape or green tape or adds cost to our businesses or says you can't use this fuel, you can only use that fuel, actually doesn't affect what goes on in the rest of the world one bit. It really doesn't matter what New Zealand does in most cases. So look, let's just be clear. ACT opposes this. It's red tape on business. It won't stop the problem that people do legitimately care about, which is exploitation of workers in the supply chain. But what it will do is add cost to consumers in New Zealand, and ACT can't stand by that.
My last question on this before we move on. You've talked about how this approach won't stop the issue. However, it's hard to make an argument for. I mean, even in the case being generous to ACT, assuming none of the reports generate any insights, isn't it still good to be charging these businesses and encouraging them to investigate whether modern slavery is up the nine? I guess I'm asking, you know, isn't this a good approach? And if ACT is opposed, what can they offer that's better?
Well, I think it's important that consumers are informed about where products come from, but beyond a certain point, there's not much you can do with that information. Now, for example, if it turned out that the copper or the cobalt in your iPhone or your Android device, if some of that came from a mine in Africa where workers were exploited, the question is then what do you do about that? And so yeah, there's not much point in collecting information about problems that we already suspect exist unless we know what we're going to do about it. There's nothing in this legislation that says New Zealand can have any influence on matters like that, except potentially diplomatically. But again, based on what we know about say, you know, mining in less developed countries with very few laws that protect health and safety or uphold workers' rights, just not clear how anything New Zealand does could change that.
I also wanted to talk today about the record prison population in Aotearoa. We saw an announcement about this last week. Is this in line with ACT's goals as a party in government at the moment?
Well, ACT's goal in government is public safety. Success can be measured in fewer victims, which is what we are seeing, fewer victims of violent crime and sexual assault. Whatever the prison population happens to be, ACT's view is that prison isn't a failure if it's protecting people in the community from harm.
We saw overcrowding discussed in previous years, especially last year, as a serious issue in the prisons in Aotearoa. Has this issue gone away?
Look, I think it's very clear that because of the success of this government focusing on public safety, that the number of prisoners in prison has gone up. But prison numbers are higher because those serious and repeat offenders, people committing violent crimes, whether it's in the family home or in the community or in retail settings, people committing sexual crimes, they're being held to account. They're being sent to prison. That means fewer dangerous people on the streets. That is success. It's up to corrections to determine what is needed to operate the prison safely. And I expect that, you know, with adding additional beds, such as in Hawke's Bay, where you know, there's a high priority construction project going on there right now, and adding up to 750 additional beds through the extension of Christchurch Men's Prison will help alleviate this within the next couple of years.
Evidence shows that imprisoning people makes them more likely to commit crimes further down the line as opposed to those who go through other processes, let's say rehabilitation, reintegration. Is the ACT Party concerned that a prison-focused approach to justice will make society more susceptible to crime in the long run?
People in prison can't hurt people outside of prison while they're in prison. So that's a good starting point. I just want to share a personal experience. When I was 17, I was shot by a gang prospect. That was a very, very serious injury. The person who did it was held to account. And, you know, as a result, as a victim of crime, I felt much safer knowing that that person was in prison. Now, you imagine how many other victims of crime there are in New Zealand who feel safer, their families feel safer, because the perpetrators are sentenced prisoners and will be in prison for a significant amount of time. Again, when they're in prison, they can access programs, yeah, they can access rehabilitation, drug and alcohol counselling, behavioural counselling, cognitive behavioural therapies, all of these things that help improve their chances of living their best lives when they come out. But if they've committed a serious or violent crime, they've shot someone, like the person who shot me did, then they should go to jail.
Right. I understand that sending someone to prison might make a victim feel more safe while they're in prison. However, that doesn't change the statistic that shows that people who go to prison are more likely to commit crimes once they leave prison. Surely focusing more on rehabilitation, focusing more on reintegration will be better not only for the prisoner but also for the person affected by the crime, for the prisoner's family, for the prisoner's community. Surely everyone would be benefited more.
100% agree. Focusing on rehabilitation, on cognitive behavioural therapies, on making sure that people are free from alcohol or drugs so that they can think more clearly about the consequences of their actions. The place to do that for people who've committed serious and violent crimes is in prison.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about modern slavery and the prison population reaching an all-time high.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.